We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Our next guest is going to keep it light, going to have a lot of fun with him, and we're going to talk some of the minutiae of the Deshaun Watson situation. He is gaming law and sports betting attorney. He's the legal analyst for The Athletic. And he joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The great Daniel Wallach back on the show. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back. The calm before the storm, any day now, right?
Any day now.
I'm thinking it's going to be before tomorrow.
Yeah, that does
before he takes the field.
So
you bet it will.
So, okay. That's
interesting.
Let's start there.
Let's start right there, Dan.
I think the Browns' decision to start Deshaun Watson is putting the arbitrator on the clock a little bit, because if the NFL wants him to be suspended for the preseason, inclusive of the preseason, I think we're really pointing to a decision very soon, but, you know, by Friday night. I think even without the Browns' action, we were looking at a relatively quick decision, because this is an expedited appeal. The NFL's brief was due within 3 business days. Watson's brief was filed 2 days later. There's really not that much, you know, for the arbitrator to do here, except to decide what the appropriate suspension should be. He's not engaging in a new round of fact finding. So this is really going to be a week to 2 weeks to kind of, you know, pin down this decision. And I think he has to be recognizing that there's going to be a federal court lawsuit potentially. So if it takes additional time, it's because he wants to really make this as airtight as possible, so that it survives, you know, federal court scrutiny.
So it's interesting you said the idea there that Peter C. Harvey could be taking long, because we weren't sure. When the announcement from the NFL came out that they were going to appeal Sue Robinson's decision, we weren't sure how long it was going to take. So I think we should just ask you, do you expect to have something before the end of this week?
You know, personally, I don't think Deshaun Watson starting a preseason game is sort of this, you know, major, you know, event that the NFL has to, you know, rush a decision out by, because it's more important for the arbitrator to get his decision as correct as possible. And, you know, the Browns starting Watson shouldn't accelerate things, because if he plays a preseason game or not, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. We're talking about a regular season ban in all likelihood, along with a monetary fine. So while I think it will come out by the end of the day tomorrow, it could go another week, but I wouldn't expect it to go beyond next week, because this is an expedited appeal. Everything is happening in a very short amount of time. The briefs that were filed by the parties can't even be longer than 5 pages. There's not a lot for Peter C. Harvey to do here, except determine, based upon the existing evidentiary record, what the appropriate amount of punishment should be. That's a much narrower responsibility and scope than what Sue Robinson had, which was to make factual findings, and she took a couple of weeks. I would expect this to be no later than the end of next week, possibly today, possibly tomorrow.
When you look at this whole thing, Dan, and you think about the fact that this Peter C. Harvey's appointed by Roger Goodell, do you anticipate it being the full season? Do you think that there is any way it could be 10, 12 games, or you think it definitely will be a full season?
Well, I think it could be 10 to 12 games, because if I know the commissioner made some statements yesterday about this, you know, predatory behavior, the league wants it to be 1 year or more. That can come back to haunt the NFL in federal court, because Roger Goodell has designated Peter C. Harvey to be the arbitrator here. So there's a close nexus between Goodell and Harvey, and these statements made by Goodell while the decision is still in abeyance could be viewed negatively by a federal court. And if Harvey imposes a full year suspension, that's really going to be in you know, I guess, disregard of Judge Robinson's reasoning that a full year suspension would violate the fair notice requirement, because the players under this existing law of the shop have to have advance notice, not only of the conduct that would subject them to discipline, but of the severity of the consequences if they committed the conduct. And she ruled that a 1 year suspension would essentially treat nonviolent conduct the same as violent conduct. And if he goes the full year or beyond, I think it could potentially unravel for the NFL and federal court based upon this principle of fair notice. You know, are there labor arbitration decisions are upheld at a very high rate, over 90% historically, at least in the Southern District of New York. So if he goes 1 year, he's guaranteeing a federal court lawsuit. If he goes only 8 games, 10 games, or 12 games, maybe Watson doesn't sue, because I think arguably you could take a 12-game suspension and justify that as treating because the arbitral precedent in this case that the league has historically used for nonviolent offenses has never been more than a 3-game suspension. So with a 3-game baseline, 4 incidents, you could make a case that 12 games for 4 incidents is in line with prior arbitral precedent. I don't like that mathematical formula, because if you had 25 complainants and their cases were proved, then Watson would be suspended for 5 years. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. But I think when you have fewer accusers and multiple incidents where the cases are proved, 12 games, I think, would be the dividing line between suing or not suing. And Watson may take a 12-game suspension without marching into federal court. But if it goes over that line for a full season, then I think they lead with Judge Robinson's fair notice argument, and then also challenge the partiality of the arbitrator, because not only is he an NFL appointee who has a long-term business relationship with the NFL, but he's an advocate for victims of sexual violence and sexual assault. He's the chairperson or vice chairperson of an organization called Futures Without Violence. So this Peter Harvey is not only an NFL outside counsel, but he's an advocate and champion for victims of domestic violence and sexual violence. And that's definitely to his credit as a human being, but it calls into question his objectivity to serve as the sort of the appellate judge sitting in judgment on Deshaun Watson on a case involving sexual assault. I think it might be a bridge too far. And when you look at his credentials, his experience, his relationships, coupled with Roger Goodell's ill-advised statement while this case was pending, it could create a viable bias argument in federal court. And the concept is called evident partiality. So I think the Players Association would raise the bias of the arbitrator, as well as the noncompliance with the law of the shop, which requires fair notice to the players of the severity of the consequences.
Daniel Wallach, legal analyst for The Athletic, with Nick and Dustin, breaking down the latest on the Deshaun Watson situation as we await the Peter C. Harvey ruling of the appeal from the NFL of Sue Robinson's initial 6-game suspension. You talked a little bit with us last time, and I know you tweeted about this, and you guys have talked about this on the Conduct Detrimental podcast, about the importance of the race to the courthouse for the NFL and NFL Players Association. Can you explain why that's important to the NFLPA side of things?
Because whenever the Players Association chooses the forum, whether it be Eastern District of Texas for Ezekiel Elliott, District of Minnesota for Adrian Peterson, they've invariably won and have overturned the labor arbitration awards. So the venue has a lot to do with, I guess, if it's not a home field advantage, it's at least leveling the playing field, because in New York, where the NFL prefers to litigate, the standards are very strict, and the league has enjoyed success defending its arbitration decisions in a New York federal court system, whereas the Players Association has won, you know, consistently when it's been able to choose its litigation forum to challenge arbitration awards. Listen, it's no guarantee. It's an uphill battle for the Players Association, no matter where this is litigated, because I could tell you that if the rate of confirmation is over 90% in New York, it's pretty close to that in most other federal district courts. But the wild card here is Judge Sue Robinson, whose prior career involved serving in the Delaware federal judiciary for a quarter of a century. She was the chief judge in the Delaware federal court system for roughly a decade. And all the judges on that bench, there were only five judges on the Delaware federal bench. Three of them served with her. Two of them, the remaining two, practiced in front of her consistently. So I think her decision-making and her analysis will be accorded greater respect in a Delaware federal court than it would necessarily in any other federal court system in the country, because she's held in very high regard. And I think there's a sufficient nexus between this controversy and the Delaware court system, because the disciplinary hearing was conducted in Sue Robinson's law office in Wilmington, Delaware. So this is one of those rare situations where the Players Association can march into federal court and hold up the ruling of one of the former members of that court as, you know, as sort of the linchpin to their legal argument as to why the suspension or the additional suspension should be overturned. The union has never been in this situation before where they can rely on another federal court, you know, just judge's ruling and go into her former court and try to argue that the court should respect her analysis more than the analysis of an arbitrator who was handpicked by the NFL and has all these built-in internal biases by virtue of his relationship with the league and his advocacy on behalf of the victims of sexual assault. So in terms of credibility, I think a former Delaware federal district court judge comes into a Delaware court process having a certain level of prestige and respect, and it would benefit the union to litigate this case in a forum that would hold Sue Robinson's viewpoints and legal analysis in the highest possible regard. She was on that bench for a quarter of a century. She's like a judicial legend in the District of Delaware. So I think that's where the Players Association wants to litigate the case. The league is going to, you know, try to push this into New York. And what I've referred to as the race to the courthouse, what inevitably happens is that the NFL-appointed arbitrator gives the news to the NFL first, and then the NFL runs into federal court before the Players Association knows what even hit them. And under the federal court first-to-file rule, the lawsuit that's filed first has priority, which is why the race is so important and why the Players Association needs to be given equal access on the timing of the release of the agreement. But I think they have a very good argument that even if the New York lawsuit is filed first, this case belongs in Delaware, because under the collective bargaining agreement, arbitration decisions rendered under Article 46 are immediately binding and enforceable against the player. There's no need to run to federal court to seek a confirmation of the court ruling. All the NFL would really be accomplishing here is trying to divest or preclude the Players Association from getting their chosen forum, which would be Delaware. And the Players Association could argue to the New York federal court, you should dismiss, transfer, stay the lawsuit because it's an unnecessary court filing, which was filed in bad faith by the NFL, that the true plaintiff in this case is going to be the Players Association, because they're seeking to alter the status quo and change the result. And they're the true plaintiff, and therefore the case belongs in Delaware rather than New York, because the league would have pursued a completely unnecessary remedy, given the fact that the CBA already declares that any arbitration award is immediately binding against the player.
Comprehensive as always, Daniel. You are the man. We appreciate you joining us, buddy. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Daniel Wallach there on the hotline, legal analyst for The Athletic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.